This is the time of year when we love to get together and celebrate Christmas and what it's all about. You know, it's one of those few holidays that is actually celebrated all around the world, in pretty much every country except perhaps China and North Korea. But really, it's celebrated everywhere. And even though the form of celebration may be a little bit different in each place, it's really the same kind of a theme. It's all about giving and receiving. It's about families getting together. It's about spoiling the kids, right? Some countries, it's about fasting. In other countries, it's about feasting. In some countries, it's just a time of having parties and decorating and doing various things. Over in Japan, it's a time for romance, of all things. In Venezuela, there's a whole slew of different traditions that they practice around Christmas time. Between December 16th and January 6th, the families will get together by first putting out, you know, special designs and scenes and so forth to kind of celebrate the whole situation. The families will get together and sing carols. They'll have carol services. And, of course, they'll have big, huge, fancy dinners and the whole thing. And on December 24th, I find this kind of interesting. The children put straw besides their beds in hopes that the magi will come with their camels and visit them and bring them gifts. And of course, then the next morning, the straw would be gone and there'd be gifts there. And hopefully there'd be this little smudge of black coal on their cheek where the magi would have kissed them on the cheek. Kind of similar to our whole thing of putting out milk and cookies, right? In hopes that Santa will take it and leave gifts behind. January 6th, of course, is the pinnacle of their celebration. And that's when they celebrate the true birth of Jesus Christ. And they remember the magi that came to visit the child. And of all the countries that I've looked at, I think Venezuela really probably has the most accurate celebration, the best idea of what Christmas is all about. Here in the United States, I think, unfortunately, Christmas has become something a little different. Wouldn't you say? You know, it starts getting celebrated like right on the heel of Halloween, when all the stores start putting all their stuff out, you know, and it's become very commercial. And Christ, unfortunately, is rapidly being pulled away from Christmas. A few schools, for example, they're allowed to still celebrate Christmas, but it's all about giving and receiving and talking about this person, Santa and Rudolph. But that's the extent of it. There's a first grader in Texas. They were having a discussion in class talking about the origins of Christmas. And the little boy was pulled aside and told he could not mention the name of Jesus. There's a school in Connecticut where the teachers were told to change the wording to the song, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." They had to change it to say, "'Twas the Night Before a Holiday." Obviously, Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of people. But I have a hard time understanding, how can you celebrate Christmas without having Christ in it? That's what Christmas is all about. You know, I'm confident that none of us here tonight have forgotten the true meaning of Christmas, or you wouldn't be here. And so for that, I'm grateful. But I'd like to take a few minutes just to look at Christmas a little differently tonight. In fact, we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. Look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And perhaps as we do that, we'll be reminded of a few things that we so often can take for granted. Luke writes in chapter 2, verses 1 and following, he says, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth." This was the first census, first time they had done this, taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the family of David. in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And verse 7 says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The first thing that I can picture here is that Mary saw God can do great things. God can do great things, such as providing salvation. But God does it in ways that we least expect it and oftentimes out of our control. Roughly 700 years prior to this Mary and Joseph person, and 700 years before she had this baby, the prophet Micah wrote these words, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," say that one real fast, "too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she is in labor and has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, and this one will be our peace." Now, how could Micah, this prophet 700 years before, how could he ever have expected that a ruler and a king would come out of such a tiny little, non-important little town like Bethlehem? You know, surely he would have expected it to at least be some big place like Jerusalem or Antioch or even Rome, some big place, but this little place called Bethlehem. You know, perhaps he was misunderstanding God. But he didn't, because God had very special plans. Micah had no way of knowing that 700 years later there was going to be some pagan emperor who was going to issue a decree that every citizen of the empire had to be counted. He didn't know that King David's ancestors were going to make a trip to Bethlehem to be counted in that census. He couldn't possibly have known that David's ancestors would be included in this simple little carpenter, and that he would have some pregnant woman with him. And by the way, and the ladies will appreciate this, at the time that this happened, Mary was roughly 9 months pregnant, so she was right ready to give birth. And they would have traveled on foot, or perhaps on the back of a donkey, about 80 miles. And that's like going from Phoenix to Prescott without I-17 and without a nice warm car. Can you imagine that kind of travel, being 9 months pregnant? Well, one other thing, there was no way that Micah could have known that Mary was going to have this baby and she was going to have it in this dirty barn. In this dirty, dark, wet, and cold place full of animals, and that she was going to wrap her baby in strips of cloth that was laying around, and that she would lay this baby into a feed trough. How could he possibly come up with such a crazy story? I mean, if you're going to come up with something, you know, make it at least a little more elaborate than that. But to come up with those kind of details and yet have it 700 years later be fulfilled. You know, I'm sure it's not what Mary and Joseph had anticipated for the arrival of their baby. But God had bigger plans. God had special plans. You can be sure of one thing. Mary never complained about her situation. She was excited. She rejoiced in it. She knew exactly why her child was to be born. Her baby came into the world to be our Savior. Her baby came into the world to be her Savior, just as the angel Gabriel had told her 3 months earlier. Mary saw that God does, in fact, fulfill his promises, and that they're not always the ways that we expect. But God is faithful. And she trusted that the Lord would be faithful, and she cherished every moment of it. You know, most people would have thought, wow, you know, for God to do such an incredible miracle like that, he must have had this plan for some pretty special people. Well, Luke goes on. He says, verse 8, and in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, laying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard, and this is important, all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds of all people. But Mary, it says, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. There is no doubt that Mary understood what was going on. Not only did God provide the Savior for herself, but God was providing the Savior for, it tells us, the poor and the despised. And that's the second thing that Mary saw here, is that of this wonderful thing that God did, he did it for everyone. He provided the Savior for everyone. Notice that God didn't send these angels to the kings and to the rulers or to the wealthy people. He sent them to the shepherds in the fields. And I mentioned to you that this is important, and it is. And the reason why is because shepherds were considered to be nobodies. They were nomads. People disliked them a great deal. You know, I don't want to compare them to the people, street people, but that's kind of what they were. They were homeless. They were destitute. They were alone. And the only kind of work they could get was out there watching sheep and watching goats and watching livestock. And their home was living in the mountains, living in the fields. And that's what they did. They just roamed around place to place aimlessly. Can you imagine the emotions that Mary had to have been feeling in this situation and the thoughts that had to be going through her head? To think that the God of creation, the God of the universe, would choose her. Choose her to have a Savior in a place of all else, a barn. And then to have these shepherds come, these nobodies come and join her and Joseph and celebrate this birth. You can see why Luke would have said that Mary treasured up these things in her heart and that she pondered them. You know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in all the busyness of the holidays. Anybody busy this time of the year? Yeah, some of us were just talking earlier about it. It's just like going every which direction. But it's so easy to get caught up in all that during this time of the year. But as we stop and think about what Christmas is really like, and we look at it through the eyes of Mary, it's good to remember that God does do great things. And he does these things in ways that we least expect, and often in ways that are completely out of our control. And reflecting specifically on this idea of God's gift of salvation, who would ever expected it to come through this baby? Through his son, Jesus, who came to earth. Equally important to note is the fact that there is nothing we can do to earn this gift. We simply receive it. God's gift of his son is free and available to everyone. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and everyone is going to probably receive one gift, two gifts, maybe a truckload of gifts, I don't know, but everybody's going to receive at least a gift. When somebody hands you that gift, are you going to give them money for it? I doubt it. Are you going to say, oh, no, 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 thank you, no, thank you. You keep it. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. Not likely. God has given each of us a free Christmas gift, whose name is Jesus. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. Hopefully you wouldn't say, oh, no, 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 thank you, and give it back to him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast about it. It's a free gift from God. We're told in 1 John 5:11 and 12 that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Pretty clear cut. Let me again remind us, there is nothing we can do to earn God's free gift. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then there's a passage that so many of us probably learned in Sunday school, and we've probably heard a dozen times, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's pretty simple. You know, I'm sure there was probably a lot more on Mary's mind that morning. Probably a lot of things going on there. What's on your mind this Christmas? What's going on in your mind? Have you thought about this free gift that God has to offer? If you haven't accepted that free gift, I would encourage you to really consider it this Christmas. Make this your best Christmas ever. Consider it seriously. It's such an important thing. It's eternal life. Father, we are so blessed, and we thank you. I thank you specifically for each one that you have brought here tonight. It's my prayer that nobody would leave this evening without receiving your free gift of Jesus. Lord, you told us in 2 Peter 3:9 that you're not wishing that any would perish, and that you are patiently waiting for everyone to repent. And in Romans 5:8, we're reminded that even while we were still sinners, you showed your love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. What an awesome Christmas gift it is to receive your love, your grace, your salvation through Jesus. Romans 10:13 tells us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, speak to each heart this evening. May each person tonight experience the greatest Christmas of all. May everyone this evening go home with the best Christmas gift that they've ever received. And that's Jesus. Amen.